for joining us for Be Our Geek, where everyone is a geek about something and where we cover your pop culture landscape through our geek lens. I am Michette, and here with my regular co-host and podcast live mate, Jayton Sadia, executive director of the Twin Cities Film Fest. Hey, Jay.
Hey, you know what I noticed?
What did you notice?
We're doing this audio. Obviously, it's an audio podcast, but I'm noticing we're social distancing, so we're doing this over Skype and whatnot.
Yes.
But I'm noticing your shirt. It is a very, very cool
shirt. You like that? It is,
it's a dinosaur lifting weights. It's kind of like, I'm feeling it right now.
Yeah, it says every day is leg day. You can't see that part because it's under my desk. I got to think. So it says every day is leg day. I find these shirts very inspirational. I have been doing a lot of that in my at-home work attire since I don't have to do as much of the grandiose outfits that I did since I'm working at home. So I have a collection of Gitche t-shirts, and most of the ones I bought are from a particular company called T-Turtle that I found their booth at one of the cons that I went to and was immediately addicted, and probably have a dozen of these shirts, a variety of inspirational shirts. So some people have those inspirational things on their wall that have all those mantras and those phrases and all those things that you see, and they like be inspired and overcome. I have shirts like this, and it works for me.
Well, I love it. You're wearing your inspiration. Hopefully that rubs off more than those just random. Megan, I am a fan of any motivational saying or a phrase that gets you motivated.
Right.
You should have them all over the place if that is what gets you going. But you're taking it to another level. You're actually wearing your inspiration,
right,
and you're wearing it again. You're wearing your shirt. You're wearing it all day long.
Yes.
So does that make you want to do more squats wearing
that
shirt?
You know what? Primarily before they became my home work attire, that was primarily what I would wear to the gym. So I did find them very motivating for that. And I could tell as I was collecting whatever I was going to work before I went to the gym, I have one that says swift like the wind, or one that says, you know, strong, independent female, or all of these different things. And it would depend on my mood, but it was very appropriate. And it did make me, you know, I have always been, you know, in when you're trying to find motivation, especially for working out, and from back when I used to even be an aerobics instructor, is finding how to get your head in the right space. And for me, this is how if I see myself, a glimpse of myself in one of the mirrors, and we know a lot of the gyms have tons of mirrors, this is the kind of thing that would make me stay motivated. Some people is having something really cute, or a favorite color, or a particular thing that makes them feel sexy. Every motivation is different. But these really fit my personality, and I think that that's important. And especially for what we're going through right now, is finding your own nugget of inspiration and what makes you have, even if you have a cloudy day, what makes it seem a little brighter. And so for me, it's Gitche t-shirts.
And I like it because it's also self-accountability, because
right,
I think that's what people are lacking right now. It's like, hey, I don't really have to go out that much. I'm not really seeing that many people. You know, I'm only accountable to myself. So I think to your point, inspirational, yes. But I think if you are able to wear something or alter your mood so I love movies, and I'll go to a matinee when we could go to matinees.
Right.
I would go to a matinee just to alter my mood for the day. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to be in this inspirational mood today, and one of the things that I want to do is alter my the next 48 hours, and I'm going to watch this documentary, which I heard is inspirational, and
right,
that kind of gets me into that accountability phase as well. So, and then you just ping me like, hey, we're going to talk about a few things today on the podcast. And I'm like, what do I want to talk about? And
right,
I've been, kind of in a couple of Pass the Password shows. And mm-hmm, I'm like, you know, I think I could talk about those, and I kind of pass those by you. And you're like, that is fascinating.
Right. And I think it's interesting because it does go back to that basic of where is your mindset right now, and what things, because I do think that some of the things that before you maybe didn't have time for, and I don't mean that you or I have a plethora of extra time. We're both, you know, busy in a very different way, especially since we're working parents, and that we are basically a combination of independent contractors, but also have a baseline project, you know, with the Twin Cities Film Fest and things like that. We have our core thing that we work on, but then we have a lot of other things that we're trying to keep juggling at the same time. So I don't, I know that I am not in that boat of people just sitting around all day wondering what they're going to do with their spare time. That has not been my experience, but my binge watching has changed dramatically. And it sounds like yours has made kind of a pivot as well. Cause what we were talking about, you were going to watch in, even if we go back to the month of March and what you were like, I have this on my agenda. This is what's going to come up next. It's a lot different than what you told me before we came on air and what you're actually watching right now. And I think mine is the same thing. This is not what I would normally have watched. And now I'm absolutely just enthralled with this particular show. So today we're going to go through some of our Pass the Password and what we think is binge-worthy out there. If you have any suggestions, we encourage you to be part of the Be Our Geek community. We'd love to see you on social media. If there's something that you suggest that we should watch, you can always let us know on Facebook or Insta. So I'll let you go first because you have two shows that are kind of in the same universe, and mine is a whole different continent. So let's start with yours, Jayton.
So I think one of the shows that I talked about back in March was I like smart shows,
right?
Shows that actually make me think. And there's those shows where you can watch passively; they're just on in the background, and you can more or less get a gist of it, and that's fine. But then there's those shows where you're doing yourself a disservice if you're not actively watching those shows.
Right.
So I have my normal like shows. Well, I'll watch a Blacklist here and there, and I'll watch a Billions, the one on Showtime. I love the kind of hedge fundy thing, and I mean that's passive active. But I've certainly pivoted to more darker shows,
which is I think very interesting.
Yeah, and I don't know if that is the environment that we're in right now. There's so much I don't want to say negative vibe, but there's certainly negative energy in the world right now with everything that is happening, and there's all appropriate based on everything that is happening. I'm not sure if that's what is driving me to these shows, or if it's something inherent that I haven't really looked at myself inside.
Mm-hmm.
But I have been infatuated with two shows, and they're all about drug trafficking.
Okay.
And getting away with it.
Okay.
Not that I want to pivot in that direction by any means, but these two are very smart shows, and they show the dichotomy between good versus bad, and the fact that the people who are doing these bad things are still justifying it, and in their own righteous way, that they're running businesses.
So are they anti-heroes then, Jayton? Are they anti-heroes?
They're anti-heroes, and they're certainly villains if you look at it from the normal society's perspective on what the product that they're serving to within their network and spreading it around. Obviously, that's not the right product we want in our society, but it is there. And these two shows talk about how both of the products that they're putting out there actually sustain the current economy.
Okay.
There's a lot people involved. These businesses are propping up communities that otherwise would not be getting any love if they weren't down the traditional route of earning money. So that said, if you take down this particular business or the infrastructure, you're literally causing thousands, if not millions of people to lose their revenue now because of the infrastructure that's already been built.
Would there also be that power vacuum that we see when you take out something that obviously is a negative impact, but then it causes this power vacuum that then is even worse than if you just kind of figured out another way to extract it from that particular society?
You're absolutely right. So one of the shows that I've now finished, I've caught up on the entire season. I think I binged it in a week. There's four seasons. It's a Netflix show called Ozark, and there's a lot of love. And Ozark started back in 2017, I believe, was the first season of it. And they just had their fourth season end now in 2020. It's about a suburban, actually a city family. The mom and dad, Jason Bateman, is the dad. So I've never seen Jason in such a dark show.
Okay.
He's never played this dark of a character. We have Laura Linney on the show, which is who's Jason Bateman's, his character's Marty Bird's wife, Wendy Bird. And they have one son and one daughter as well. The fascinating show about this, I'm not sure if you ever watched the show Breaking Bad. If you ever watched the show Breaking Bad, it was all about big secrets and trying to hide, keep those secrets hidden.
Right.
This is kind of like a Breaking Bad ride where your heart is palpitating throughout the whole episode. But there are absolutely no secrets. Everybody knows about everything.
Interesting.
There are, and again, that's a very different pivot than the traditional way of kind of with these drug shows. And again, Jason Bateman is an accountant. So he's basically the accountant that is money laundering for cartels.
Okay.
And his wife knows about it. His son knows about it. Their daughter knows about it. His son actually starts learning the business and now has, at the end of season four, I'm not spoiling anything, but ends up with offshore accounts. And his son is like 10,
wow.
11. So they all know about everything that is happening. And again, one of the key things about, if you look at character studies, I look at it from a scene perspective. Each scene drives the next scene.
Okay.
And one of the most fascinating things, Bill Cooper, my managing director, who you know as well, is a great friend of ours. He's an acting coach. One of the things that he pointed out was and he's an acting coach.
Right.
He says it is very hard for him to take a scene from an episode and actually use it in his acting class because the scene are very short.
Right.
There are maybe five or six dialogues by each person. They're very intense. There's a lot of non-verbals that are used in each of these scenes. And then you move on to the next scene.
Oh, okay.
And the fact you can't drive the arc of an entire episode by one scene as well. You have to combine all of them to kind of see where the arc was and the finality.
How long is each episode of Ozarks?
Each episode is approximately 48 minutes.
Okay.
So traditional, or to put it on a TV network, it'd be an hour long show.
Throw in the commercial breaks, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's about 48 minutes. So that's one show. And another show that I guess also a Netflix show. And this one's a very much of an active show. You have to watch it because it is also a foreign language, majority of it. It's called Narcos.
Okay.
And Narcos had a couple of iterations of it. The first one was, I think, two or three seasons, and it dealt with Pablo Escobar.
Right.
And his coming up from nothing to where it was to his end, which was death. And then they pivoted the next two seasons, which is currently on right now, to Mexico and how the Mexican cartel is now involved in their trafficking. They started with marijuana and now they're trafficking into cocaine and kind of building that infrastructure that is keeping up essentially the Mexican economy. And again, the government is always, for some reason, have caught my attention and obviously caught my drive to continue watching those or at least go out there and source other content that is kind of like it.
Let me ask you this. As your friend, how do you feel while you're watching the show and then after you watch the show?
I look at it from an analytical standpoint. So
you're not answering the question. Don't tell. No,
no
just
no,
that. Okay.
No, no, I hate you.
Don't dodge. Just no. How do you feel?
I feel like these characters, and again, these are all based or inspired on true stories or true happenings in the world. I'm fascinated with different industries, regardless
right.
of what industry it is. So I feel involved, and I feel like I am part of the storyline.
Okay.
As a outsider looking in, knowing that I'm not doing anything bad, but I'm watching these human beings be the worst people ever.
Do you feel right? like you're kind of supporting but something I, bad then a little bit by going, oh, I shouldn't
I,
like this?
I feel, yeah, I feel okay. like I'm supporting something that I shouldn't be supporting, yet you cannot take your eyes away from it. And yet I want to, there's redeeming characters mm-hmm. in these stories that are, you wouldn't necessarily consider villains.
Okay.
Right? So I find myself attached to some of these, quote unquote, unredeemable individuals, But you get to learn about their backstory and why they got involved. And now they're just stuck. And now either they live it or they die or they perish. Wow. So you tend to go after, you know, you pick a couple characters and you're like, I hope this person doesn't die in this episode. But that said, these shows are very smart.
Okay.
So I love the way in Ozark, Jason Bateman is put into a scenario pretty much every other episode where he has to get out of it on a dime.
Okay.
And he uses his brain. He uses his mental power. He's a, you know, middle-aged white man trying to do what he's doing, but he's escaping death every other episode based on his intellect. Which I find fascinating. So not that I'm going to try to, mimic or try to get what he is trying to get out of. That's not going to be my life.
That's not what you want as your main hobby, is getting out of death, deadly situations because you're the accountant to a drug running cartel. Fair enough.
Yeah,
fair enough. I would hope that is not your new squad goal, Jayden. So.
No, it's not. No. And I'd let you know if it was. But I find it fascinating how he is able to maneuver within his own mind to pivot to a non-threatening scenario and keep his family safe as well as keep the business going as well. So hopefully that answers your question. I feel like I'm part of the story.
Okay. Well, all right. Then we'll move on to mine, which is, as I said, on a completely different continent. And is a you wouldn't think so, but especially in comparison to the shows that you are currently watching, Jayden, my show is full of whimsy because I have been watching a show called Midsummer Murders. And I found it through my mom. I was over at my mom's house. We had started watching Doctor Who, and there's a bunch of channels we've been watching. One of the free streaming services that is available out there, a lot of Pluto TV. So it has these binge channels that are just episodes of certain pockets of shows over and over and over and over again. So I thought I was going to start watching Doctor Who, and then two channels down is Midsummer's Murders. And I had watched a few of these at my mom's house. And this is a British TV detective drama that basically started back in 1997 and is still running now. And it's about it's set within the English countryside, these English country villages. And it's kind of, the show is actually, it has moments, even though it's a murder mystery show, it has lots of moments of whimsy and lightheartedness. And it is actually a beautiful show to look at because it does really showcase a lot of these beautiful, the English countryside and these beautiful homes and what's going on there. And it's very pleasant people that then get murdered for these. And so I'll answer my own question about, I asked you, how do you feel after you're watching the shows you're watching? This one, I actually, an episode, but I also can watch this show. You watch actively in that you kind of want to pick up on the clues so you can kind of play along and try and solve the murder. But the majority of the episode, the way that the formula of the show, the murders are so fantastical and the scenarios are so bizarre that you never feel the need to be frightened for your own safety. It's not like when you're watching even if you watch some of the American true crime shows that I watch now, like if you're watching a true a Criminal Minds, or where you have that moment where you're scared, like you're like, oh my gosh, that guy really could be a mass murderer in my neighborhood, or this poor woman just came home and he was in her shower. Like that kind of, that things happen and you feel bad for some of the characters that die. Some of them you're like, you're like, okay, you were kind of a terrible person anyway. Like just a weird, weird, terrible person that you're like, well, at least it was you and not this other person. But a lot of it, like the storyline quite often is about some sort of drama that happens in the community, and they have a bunch of people who all have these competitive gardens, and there's some drama between all the competitive gardeners, or there's something that goes on and it turns out there's a black market orchid trade and somebody is smuggling in orchids and then something goes awry, or it gets even weirder where there's some really fancy pianist that is trying to like carry on his legacy, and so people get murdered so that he could carry on trying to come up with the best pianist through genetic engineering. It's a lot of things like that where none of it is something that you're like, oh yeah, that happened to me when I was at the grocery store. That could happen.
Sure.
Yeah, so that part is actually kind of soothing, and they have these great British accents, and they're actually very calm about things. And it reminds me of and maybe a lot of it makes me feel kind of nostalgic to things I used to watch with my grandmother. If I was watching old episodes of Poirot or watching old mysteries of Columbo and those kind of shows, it's kind of like that. You know, and it's, you know, probably three-ish people are going to get murdered because they murder one and then they end up having to murder either two people to continue the vendetta, or because then somebody finds out about the first murder. So then they have to continue and it snowballs into a string of murders.
There's always collateral damage.
Correct. You know, and sometimes you're like, this person is literally just weird Midsummer Murders insane, because they're all a little insane. But some of them are so neurotic, or they talk about like this, a lot of the British upper middle class. And so just a lot of their need to cover up things and maintain the history of their family. And so they will murder or do anything to try and make sure that people still think that Lord Casey so-and-so is still fancy.
Gotcha.
And a lot of that happens. And I mean, the show is still running, from what I understand, and it was the kind of show that normally, if I hadn't seen a few episodes and gotten the tone and tenor of it over at my mom's house, I might not have started it, because it's been on for so long. It's one of those things where you're going, can I catch up? But the characters, even though we've had the main primary character, this guy named the character's name was Detective Chief Inspector Tom Barnaby, and he's the main one, and he was on until 2011, I believe. So he was on for a considerable amount of time, and then he has usually a sidekick, somebody that works for him, a detective sergeant. And so the secondary character had rotated through a couple of gentlemen, and then the primary character, the actor, this guy named John Nettles, decided that he was going to retire, and so they replaced him with the character is supposed to be his slightly younger cousin, who they had introduced in an earlier episode, who is now also Detective Chief Inspector Barnaby, but he's John Barnaby now. And so they just kind of moved in a new Barnaby and started with that. And so that part, I think, is really interesting. Sorry, my phone is ringing. I'm going to stop that decline. There we go. That hasn't happened before. All right. So back to Midsummer Murders. So so you do hear all of these storylines about the Barnabys going out and solving these murders. And they're very interesting characters. And I've been very, it's the kind of show where you kind of want to pay attention, because you will turn away and look back and somebody else got murdered. And so you're like, wait, you can pop back in. And it's, I always get these things confused. It's very episodic in that you don't have to see them all in a row. There's not
pop in, pop out, you need to.
Right. So you can go, I watched these three episodes. They don't really tie into each other and you'll be okay. You don't miss a lot. Like, there's just some primary things you want to know about each of the primary characters. Okay. Usually it's Detective Barnaby and his wife Joyce, and they have a daughter named Cully, and the three of them pop up, and you kind of feel bad for his wife Joyce, who is a gangster. Like, she's one really cool. She's like in all of these, she's in the theater. She's like, does that, and she hangs out with at the old folks home and does all these things, but she also has a tendency to be adjacent to murders. So like she'll be in a play and they're doing this whole thing about Amadeus, and she's just one of the secondary characters, and then one of the main actors gets murdered in front of her. So a lot of that stuff. But now you see, this is the kind of show that you can kind of laugh about, because you're like, whoa, Joyce, that was rough, you know. And then like, and
one of the things I want to certainly bring up with the two shows that you just brought up with her, mm-hmm. Especially with Ozark, at the end of the fourth season, you really realize that women are running the whole show. Even though Jason Bateman's character is central, it's the women surrounding him that are running the entire show.
Like, right.
There are so many amazing lead female characters that are they're basically creating the arcs. behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. They're the brains behind the operation. And that is amazing. That is so, so wonderful to kind of see these brilliant female characters kind of running. You hear about all like, you know, the behind a great man is a great woman. No, I mean, these women are actually out to be right. Like, nope, we are running the show and you're just one of our puppets.
Right.
And again, no secrets. Everybody knows exactly what is happening. So it's good to see that you have a character within your own binge show.
Right.
That is central enough, but you do from the opposite end, you do get that whimsy and that like, oh my God, murders follow you. You need to just stop going out the house.
Right. That's a rough life choice. And the only other thing that I did feel guilty about it from this perspective is that, of course, how many shows can we have out there that don't have any controversy around them at all? And what happened with Miss Sunder's Murder is that there was some controversy that I believe this came out in 2011, and it was one of the directors and the showrunners. They actually asked him some questions in a magazine called the Radio Times or on the in the Radio Times, and they asked him why they didn't have any non-white characters in this show. And his response was that Midsummer Murders is a bastion of Englishness. And so, of course, there was a lot of pushback, and he was challenged about that term Englishness and whether that was correct. And he later went on to say that he wanted to make a program that appeals to a certain audience, which seems to succeed. And so those actually ended up getting this guy investigated by the production company, and they had at first fired him, you know, kind of thing. And then eventually they did reinstate him, but only after he made an apology. And he said, if my remarks gave unintended offense to any viewers, I feel bad and I'm sorry-ish, which, you know, is not an appropriate one. So he did eventually have to step down as the producer from doing that. And you do notice that later on during the series, they do start to get more characters of color, and it's not as stereotypical as what you would expect. And so,
that actually added to the actual story, or do you think they just placated this and just kind of, again, yeah, keeping in mind that it still needs to move the story and the episodes and the series forward, do you think they did it the right way?
I do, because instead of going, all right, now we have token stereotype characters, they just infused characters in that happen to be of color, which is usually the way that I prefer that they infuse characters in, is that they go, all right, this character is here. There's not an over, we don't pound you with the storyline so that we are like so exclamation pointing everything about the fact that they are diversity. They just are in the show. And sometimes they're a hero, sometimes they're a villain, just having people just be available in the show. And the American show that it reminds me a little bit of, and it's much more lighthearted than that, but it reminds me of why I was such a fan of Law and Order for so many years, where you could pop in, and even if you'd seen it, it still feels good to watch the show. Like, there were so many, like, I wasn't a Law and Order SVU fan, but of the original property, I watched all of those regardless of who the lead detectives were, whatever they were doing. There was something about the way and the way that show flowed that I always enjoyed, and Midsummer Murders kind of fills that void for me now. Cause some of the episodes I'm like, oh yeah, this is the one where they got mad because their great, 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 great grandfather got murdered by bell ringers. And so now they're mad at bell ringers. And that's a thing. That's an actual thing.
That has happened in the past. when is it set? Is it set modern yes. time nowadays?
Or yes. Is it, okay. Yes. And so, which is the other thing that sometimes the impetus for the murders are ancient history, like ancient British history, that pops back up for some odd reason. You know, somebody got somebody way back, some ancestor got thrown down a well, and they're still mad generations later for some reason. So, and that part is always interesting.
There's a little bit of that in Ozark, which is modern day-ish, which is all about tradition, keeping the traditions alive mm-hmm. in these bigger families. And then, you know, the fact that they don't want to change, or they see change coming, but they don't want to
right.
adopt it by any means. They're doing whatever it takes, essentially, to keep as is. And then, but on the opposite side, Narcos is set, you know, back in Pablo Escobar days in the 70s and 80s. So you see, quote unquote, what wasn't normal back then, because they try to do their best to keep it as authentic as possible from a set design perspective, from a storyline perspective. So that's, again, where I'm living the same, essentially the same drug cartel money laundering, but in two different time zones.
So, Jayden, may I ask you this as your friend? Do you know what is next on your binge list in case I need to send help? So are you going to stay in dark territory, or do you have something like, are you going to watch a couple Scooby-Doo movies or something just to cleanse your palate, or what are you going to do?
Do you know what I did actually watch with, and I were, well, there's two episodes, two things. So right now we're finishing Schitt's Creek.
Yes.
On Netflix, which is very, very, very funny.
Okay. I have heard that from another friend as well. I believe you.
Schitt's Creek is, it's just real. It's just Dan Levy has done an amazing job with that. And again, the series is over now. It's finished. And so we're kind of taking our time finishing the series up. So that's, again, on the opposite end of just being fun. And then my wife and I binged in 2 days. We binged, which again, my wife and I don't really binge. We find things that are appealing to each other, but not appealing to both of us, mostly.
Fair enough.
She not like dark. She does not. She gets vivid dreams and just gets
too
involved.
Your wife. I am very like your wife. So now you got two of us. You have your podcast wife and your home wife, and we both think that what you watch is depressing.
I guess I don't know what that is, but we ended up watching a show on Amazon Prime. It's one season out. It's called Upload.
Seen the commercials for that. Do you like that one?
Yeah, and we ended up watching all of them in 2 days. There's about 10 episodes or something. And that's, again, a light show as well, which is about afterlife. So essentially in the future, you could...
My son's coming downstairs. He makes quite the entrance. Yes.
Mm-hmm. No, you could. So the show is essentially you can upload your consciousness into the afterlife.
I will try and check that show out. Usually we wrap up in a more organized way, but I kind of think the fact that my son has decided that this podcast should start to wrap up, I will probably take that. So you want to say hi?
Hi.
Tickles. All he cares about is tickles. I love it. I would go give him some tickles, and you can go home and give your son some tickles and watch something lighter with your wife. We'll make sure that we check in with everybody again soon. We want to encourage everybody to follow our show. It's Be Our Geek Show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can email us at beourgeekshow@gmail.com, and you can also call us and leave a message at 612-276-2774. That's 612-276-2774. Please like and subscribe Be Our Geek wherever you find us, and always go to the Twin Cities Film Fest website for more. That's twincitiesfilmfest.org. So I'm glad that you are happy in real life and using all of your negativity to watch your shows, Jayden. So that works for me. We will check in with you next time. We appreciate you listening. Remember, everyone is a geek about something.